Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Well, children, after kind of an exciting 3 days here at St. Gertrude's, where we had, lots of celebration in the way of St. Patrick's Day, and then also yesterday with St. Joseph's Day, we return ourselves now to the Lenten Ferial Masses during the week. And we find ourselves today, Tuesday of Passion Week, reading through the Lenten Mass, and it gives us the epistle that talks about the Daniel being in the lion's den, and then the prophet Habakkuk being taken by his hair and brought all the way to bring him food in the den to help feed him while he waited there to be let go. Now, in reading that, we see that Daniel is not harmed by the lions, and we see also that in the end, the king realizes that it was wrong for him to be there, and he liberates Daniel, sends the people to put him there, and he worships the one true God, the God that Daniel professes. But how did Daniel get there in the first place? That's the question we ask ourselves. And if we look a little bit further back in that chapter of Daniel, we see the story laid out before us. Daniel's invited by the king of the Babylonians to be his guest, and he's a lot of esteem. He's there as an honored guest before the king, and the king goes every day to worship this false god named Bel, and he puts before him a great quantity of food that costs a lot of money every day. And every day it seems like this false god Bel eats the food. They put 12 measures of flour, 40 sheep, and 6 vessels of wine. Well, when the king goes to pray and worship Bel, Daniel doesn't go with him to the temple to pray. And he stays outside. And so the king comes back and says, "Well, Daniel, why don't you worship this? Why don't you worship Bel like I do?" And Daniel says, "Well, I worship the one true living God, and I don't worship false idols, which have no life in them whatsoever." Well, the king says, if it's a false idol and if it's not a living God, then how do you explain the fact that he eats all of this food and drinks the wine every single day? Come on, that's impossible if he's not alive. Well, Daniel told him, he said, "I think you're being tricked, and we should do a test to show that." And the king says, "Fine, we'll do the test." And Daniel's idea was that he'd seal up the entire temple, put the food there before the shrine, and seal up the temple so nobody could get in and do that. And so the king says, "Fine, if you are right, Daniel, then I will put the priests to death for lying to me for all this time. But if they are right and Bel actually eats it, you will be killed." Well, they get all the food prepared in the temple, and Daniel has his people scatter some ashes all along the ground secretly there, and then the king closes the doors and seals it up. Now the priests, they weren't worried about it because they had a secret entrance through the floor, and so they gather up all of their family members and they all come up through the secret entrance in the floor in the middle of the night, and they eat all of the food and drink all of the wine, and then they sneak back out again thinking that they were going to win and Daniel's now going to be put to death. So the next morning they come to the temple of Bel, and they open the door, and he stops the king and says, "Wait right there." And the king says, "Well, can't you see all the food's already gone? He definitely ate it." And he says, "But look at the floor. What do you see?" And there's all these footprints all over the floor, and they led to and from the hidden trap door below the table. And the king became very angry that these priests were lying to him, and so he threw them all into prison, and they were all put to death for lying. And he gave the idol Bel to Daniel and said, "Do whatever you want to with him." So Daniel destroys the idol and burns the temple to the ground. Then the king says, "Well, you might have proven that Bel was wrong, but you cannot say that this God is not a living God." And he shows him a dragon. And the dragon is there, and it's alive, and it's, you know, in this cave there. And he says, we worship the dragon, and he's definitely alive. He'll eat anything. And so Daniel says, well, let me do another test. And, you know, of course, the bargaining chip being his life again. And he says, give me leave for a little while, for a few days, and then come back. And we'll see if he's a true God or not. And Daniel mixes up this batch of nastiness. It's pitch and fat and hair and all this gross stuff. And he cooks it up and makes it into big clumps. And he feeds it to the dragon. And the dragon dies because it ate this gross thing. And when the king comes back, he sees the dragon dead there. And he says, you know, and he's amazed because Daniel has killed it without a sword or rock or anything. And so he sees that, again, his false god was indeed just that, false. And so he begins to see the truth. Well, all the people, or a lot of the people in the town of Babylon, they saw that and they got really nervous. They didn't want to lose all their false gods. And so they came and they were jealous. And they came to the king and they threatened him that they were going to do harm to him and his family and to his kingdom and everything if they didn't throw Daniel to the lion's den. And so the king, in a moment of weakness, gives in and he throws Daniel into the lion's den. And that's where it brings us to the epistle. Daniel, of course, is there. These lions haven't eaten for days, yet they see Daniel in there as meek as little cats, and they just all kind of sit by him, and he pets them, and he just sits there and prays and waits for the day of his deliverance. And meantime, the angel brings Habakkuk with some food to keep him going, and the king comes and realizes Daniel's still alive. All these days later, he truly has the one true God, and he throws all of the crowd that forced him to throw Daniel into the lion's den anyways, into the den of lions, and they immediately pounce on them and destroy them. Now, that's a pretty exciting story about the prophet Daniel, but it makes us think, wait a second, what lesson do I need to learn from that? Well, Daniel is very interesting because he talks about the worship of the true God to the king, and he does so knowing that it very well could mean that he might have to die in standing up for what he knows to be true, in standing up for the one true God. When he does not go along to worship Baal, the king could have killed him just for that alone. When he puts his life on the line to show that these are false idols, there could have been some sort of, you know, really strange trick done that could have been not convincing enough to the king, and he still could have died. And even after it all, he's thrown into the lion's den anyways, and he goes because he has no choice, but he knows he stands on the truth of righteousness. And all the while, he has no guarantee that his life is going to be spared every step of the way. But all along, Daniel never wavers. He always stands up for God. He always stands up for the truth. And in the end, God rewards him by delivering him from all of those dangers and back out to safety. For us, you know, people usually aren't trying to kill us, but we do have opportunities to stand up for the faith, to stand up for the one true God. And we have no guarantee in doing those things that it's going to turn out the way we want it to. We have no guarantee that the people we talk to about the Catholic faith are going to change their minds and become Catholic. We have no guarantee that they're not going to make fun of us or make our lives hard. We have no guarantee that necessarily it's going to be easy for us or popular for us to do those things. But it doesn't matter. We need to stand up for those things anyways, because they're right, because they're true, because they are honoring and serving the one true God. And that when we do that, God will always reward us for it. Now, it may not be the way we necessarily hope. It might not be that we escape kind of mockery or anything like that. But he will always reward us with graces. He will always reward us with spiritual growth. And in the end, if we do it all our life long, he will always reward us with heaven. And that's what we seek after. We seek after always following God, always following the truth, no matter what consequences may come our way, because that is to stand by the one true God above all else. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.